Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who's going to talk about their area of expertise, and I'm very excited to talk with them. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hey, guys. My name is Rory Lutz. I'm a born and raised New Yorker, and I've been a union member of Local 3 for 25 years, which I found out makes me an expert on the topic.
Excellent. Yeah, my understanding of unions is that fundamentally they were a method to help the bargaining power of workers. So the collective bargaining, the coming together to figure out the best way to negotiate against the money and the legal power of these businesses. And as time has progressed, they've also supported a number of other organizations and businesses. One of the main supporters of unions these days is actually the vinyl sign and inflatable rat industry. Without labor disputes, those industries would significantly suffer because who is going to be, maybe like if there's a grand opening sign, you're going to get a vinyl sign made and that's going to stay up for 6 months or more. But who's going to get a giant inflatable rat to designate that this business has horrible business practices? Just not going to be done outside of there being some sort of labor dispute. And so that's really helped a lot of people in the balloon industry, the inflatables industry, get that consistent income, because a lot of those people, they have like the bouncy houses, they have the standard balloons that you would have at a birthday party. But the real money makers are those inflatable rats that you see around the city. And there's also been a lot of instances where people have gone undercover to get into unions, whether it's from the business organizational side to try and kind of disrupt the unions. There's a lot of union tampering, especially with places like Starbucks and some of the other businesses around. But there's also instances where people have come into the unions and try to like facilitate the understanding that there are these inadequacies and inconsistencies with the labor practices of the business. And then once they have enough people on board, they're ready to vote, they're ready to strike, they have a supplier ready for their vinyl signs and their inflatable rats. And so they're really getting in to these businesses. They hear word on the street like, oh, hey, Starbucks might be going on strike. Chipotle might be going on strike. Any of these businesses might be going on strike. Medieval Times might be going on strike. They get somebody in, maybe even initially as a scab, to be like, oh, hey, yeah, like start working there. And they're like, you know, I'm going to go across the picket line. This is a bad place to work. And then they're like, oh, hey, we can really upgrade your signage. I can get us a really good discount, 20% off if we buy in bulk. But a lot of people overlook the fact that just a quick and simple trip to a Home Depot or Home Goods store, or even a crafting store, can get you access to really, really effective methods of protest, whether it's cardboard signs, whether it's the painting stirrers, not just for stirring paint. You can easily attach signs to those and raise them up and down. They have that little groove in the handle, and that can really be useful if you're in a tight spot. And then I would be remiss if I didn't mention the chanting and songs and just the organizational aspects of marching that go on during a strike. A lot of people, some of these businesses, they don't get the opportunity to show off their creative side. And so by protesting, by organizing, they're able to come together and work in this creative community to say, hey, what? We do have this creative understanding, and we can make these really cool and uniting chants to make us feel as one. Something that a lot of businesses have tried to co-opt to make like company songs that people have to sing each day, kind of like company morale booster sort of things, but they just don't have the amount of excitement and joy that, and frustration, frankly, that comes in from having to strike and having to say, hey, no, we need to stand up for ourselves and we need you to recognize us and treat us better. Now, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
I feel like you get a gold star for your knowledge of unions at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, you're about a 4.5. But what you broached on, yeah, you mentioned all the good topics. Like, most people don't realize that unions were specifically formed, literally, for inflatable rats and inflatable balloons, because up until like 1927, I believe, like all inflatable rats were made in China.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of people don't recognize that, and they don't recognize how that's a homegrown American business that we need to be supporting, or we can.
Yeah, and then it turns out like kids like inflatable castles, and it just spiraled upwards from there. But yeah, like you mentioned, like collective bargaining, right? And it sounds like a great thing, right? You have a bunch of people collectively bargain for raises. Imagine 10,000 people going in independently for raises, right? But then the problem becomes like you get paid the same amount of money the guy who's smoking crack at lunchtime gets paid. So it's kind of like a give and take as far as collective bargaining goes.
Yeah, like to help the all, there is a dynamic of some people are going to be brought along that might not necessarily really fit the ideal of what everybody wants.
Yeah, and it's kind of like some jobs you work with drug addicts. Like we has issues. We work sometimes, but imagine in construction, you actually show up to some jobs and have to work for crackheads. Like literally, and you might be saying, like, well, how do you, he's a crackhead? Because the guy's smoking crack at breakfast. You know what I mean? So
Yeah,
it's
that's the thing about most drug use on the job. It becomes pretty clear pretty quickly, regardless of the substance use of like, oh yeah, there's signs. And like once you know to look for those signs, it's pretty clear.
And but then like what are you supposed to do? Because like now here you are, you have to move something that weighs like 500 pounds. And this guy, after he smokes crack, can lift it by himself. So again, it's a constant give and take at work, because those guys are as valuable as anyone, to be honest with you.
That is a definitive special skill to be able to lift something 500 pounds on your own.
Yeah, and you mentioned like the need for unions. You mentioned Starbucks, which is a great example, which made me think of like college sports. Like recently, we've seen like an influx of college football teams unionizing, which makes sense because their likeness is used to make money and stuff. And then I was thinking what other industries could be helped by unions, and I just can't get it out of my head, like why we don't have like an altar boys union at this point. I feel like if there was ever a hostile work environment, that's the definition at this point.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that the one of the hindrances there is the bargaining of minors, not to be confused with minors who notoriously do have a pretty good union overall. There have been some ways from that in the coal mining industry, but the union organizing of minors, people under the age of 18, I think it becomes a little bit trickier legally, also with the idea of whether or not these altar boys are being paid. So there might be some instances where it might be more difficult than a standard business practice.
I wonder if they're allowed like breaks into water bottles like they are at Amazon yet. Have they even reached
You
that
know,
point?
if the service is that long, I mean, I feel like they should be able to just leave and use the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like no service needs to be that long where it hour max for a service. You can hold it, but you're not going to do any damage.
60 minutes seems like a fair amount of time to hold your urine in, yeah.
When did you join the union? Was it something that it like was expected of you right when you started working, or is it something that you had to work up towards? How did that process work?
So I was working non-union at the time. We were working in a hospital, and we had to cross a picket line every morning. And I was nine, I might have been 19 or 20 years old at that point. It was a long time ago. And I just remember saying, like, I really don't want to get the shit beat out of me like those three guys that just crossed the picket line, right? The guy said, hey, do you want to join the union? And I said, are you going to do that to me? As I pointed to the guy who was being taken out on a stretcher, and he said, no. And I said, sure, I'll sign right here. So it was more of like the safety issues for me. It just seemed like it would feel nice to be protected at work, both
Absolutely.
physically and hypothetically.
Yeah, have protection in multiple facets.
Yeah, because back then they didn't very take too kindly, and that was my first experience with the inflatable rat. So when you see an inflatable rat, right, it might be funny. Normal people might see the rat and laugh, but understand that rat kind of is like a violent. Like if you see that rat, like it's not a very welcoming environment. You know what I mean? Like
Right.
the people around that rat are very angry, and the people who are dealing with the angry people are having to cross picket lines. So the rat is kind of like a symbol of like trouble here.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, just to be able to rent that rat and get that down there, a lot of paperwork needs to be filled out for that rental fee, for the inflation, everything like that. And they really give you a runaround, is my understanding, when you're trying to rent those rats.
Union perspective would be that those are jobs that we've now created, right? So people
right.
have to hand you the paper and things like that, you know what I mean? So it's just a constant, it's like a circle of life in a way.
Yeah, it's constantly giving back and constantly providing and helping society and helping people. And also, frankly, helping get the word out, because you see the rat one or two times and you think, oh, that's funny. But then if you've experienced something bad at work, maybe you've recognized like, oh, hey, maybe there are options for me. Maybe there are people I can talk to that might be able to help me. That kind of gets the ball rolling towards more places unionizing.
Yeah, it's a great visual. Which just made me realize after 25 years, I feel like we put the rats up in front of non-union construction sites. Mm-hmm. I feel like at this point in front of like legitimate union construction sites, we should start like having inflatable Superman or like superheroes. So people know that building is being built by heroes.
Absolutely. Some indicator of like, hey, this is a... And to contrast that rat as best you can of like, this is something jovial and happy and like it brings your eye, and like a kid might come up and be like, oh, why is there a Superman here? And then you get to tell the kid like, oh, this is a good place. They pay well. They respect their workers, etc. And kind of in that contrast, kind of give some of that outreach, I think would be really nice.
I think it would be a great idea. I think I'm actually going to see about doing that, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, that'd be wild.
Trademark something, you know, like a Superman with a hard hat sticker on, like the old, right? I forget, I'm drawing a blank on her name, but the old picture of the female flexing her arm.
Oh, yeah, Rosie the Riveter.
Correct. It would be like a modern day version of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that I think that's a really, really great idea.
That I'll probably forget about like 10 minutes later.
Well, yeah. I will include it in the episode description when this comes out, so there'll be a reminder.
Perfect, perfect. But one thing that people don't realize about construction is like, yeah, we build buildings and we create jobs, but like, if we didn't exist, nobody would sell beer at 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's
right.
10 o'clock beers just wouldn't exist if construction workers weren't thirsty.
Absolutely. And just having, an argument could be made that if it wasn't for construction workers, we wouldn't have brunch as we know it.
Technically speaking, a happy hour was created for teachers and construction workers. So I'll go one step further and say, if it wasn't for construction workers, bars might not even exist.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we owe a lot of our society and our social lives to these people, and it just gets so overlooked. Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating.
It's like, oh, heaven forbid someone goes back to work a little drunk. Well, what, no one's asking him how hard he worked before lunchtime, right?
Right. And you better that they have a little bit of alcohol. Who hasn't had a little bit of alcohol at lunch before going back to work? So long as you're not finishing half a case of beer and going back where you're wobbly. And also, if you are wobbly, if you're walking around like that, people are going to notice. They're going to stop you. If there's a little bit of pain, you pulled a muscle or something like that, a little bit of something to relax a little bit, not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, so let's take a little edge off. I mean, you know, like we talked about, the bartender needs to make money too, right? So someone needs to be there.
Exactly. Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been extremely informative. If people wanted to learn more about you or learn more about unions, where would you recommend that they?
Well, I personally belong to Local 3, so you can go on the Local 3, the IBEWJIB website, or you can literally just Google in unions in my area if you're interested in, you know, learning a trade or having a career in any specific construction. All jokes aside, it does provide a very nice life for you. The job security is wonderful. The benefits are amazing. The camaraderie, I compare it a lot to sports locker rooms. Mm-hmm. You can very rarely go somewhere and like be yourself. You know what I mean? It's not the corporate world, but it's very fulfilling to work with your hands and yes. To build things and see things that you create come to fruition. So you can just, like I said, you can Google unions in my area and there'll be no shortage of lists pop up.
Excellent. And if people wanted to find more about you?
They can check me out online. My name is Rory Lutz, R-O-R-Y-L-U-T-Z. I have a Facebook account. I have Instagram. I have TikTok and stuff. I'm a stand-up comedian in New York as well. So if you like halfway funny jokes, go check out my social media platforms. Other than that, I'm creating websites for other things, but right now I'm kind of figuring out my second half of my life as a 45-year-old.
Excellent. Rory, this has been absolutely wonderful. I really appreciate you joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt Splaining.